In your name we pray, Yeshua. Amen. And so wanted to talk this morning about the traditions of the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments is interesting because there's some tradition in the way that the commandments are laid out and some traditions in the way in which commandments are used. That is why the critics of displaying of the Ten Commandments think that the Ten Commandments should not be displayed in the United States of America. It's because the Jews have different Ten Commandments than what the Catholics have picked as the Ten Commandments. Excuse me, as what the rest of evangelical Christianity has picked for the Ten Commandments. And what evangelical Christianity and the Jews have picked, they're the same commandments. They just start at a different spot. So I just wanted to take a look at these really quick because it's important how we line up the Ten Commandments. Remember what Yeshua said when we read the Shema, right? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your resources. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And how does he continue that? All the Torah and the writings and the prophets, that means all the Old Testament, all the Bible, hinges on those two statements. Loving God with all your heart, loving your neighbor as yourself. And so with that, you know, we can't look at what is tradition as far as what are people are concerned. Because when we put on our Jewish glasses, which is something that's, you know, like we talked about, and we've talked about over and over again about proper hermeneutics, we've got to look at the scripture, you know, in its original language, in its original context, and through the Jewish culture to fully understand what's going on with it. And in Judaism, they line up five commandments on one side and five commandments on the other. You can see that on the screen right there. See how we have, I am the Lord thy God on one side, and right across it's commandment number 6, you shall not murder. And, thinking about that, and understanding that God places things in certain order for a reason, right? And so with that, we find that when we line the commandments up according to the way that they are taught in traditional Judaism, there is a deeper message within the commandments. And we're just going to run through these really quick. So with that, you can see on the screen behind me, I am the Lord thy God. And right across from it, you shall not murder. See how those two are together? That means that those two commandments are related to each other. I am the Lord thy God who brought you out of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. With that, it lines up with murder. And if you think about that, think about, really? How is acknowledging God and murder, what do they have to do with each other? Well, when a person lives out their lives as a recognizable believer in the one true God, and Yeshua, you know, what does he say? Let your light so shine that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. A believer who recognizes who God is prevents the adversary from murdering their fellow neighbors by leading them to worship other gods and thus results in them spending eternity separated from God in hell, right? So see how those two commandments relate to each other, where if a believer does the right thing, then it's going to prevent his neighbor from doing the wrong thing. Yeah. Look at the second and the seventh commandment. And I think it's the book of Hosea, if I remember correctly. And I'm just, you know, spitballing off the top of my head. I could be wrong here. But doesn't it relate having other gods to adultery? We see that relationship in the prophets. And so when we see no other gods and don't commit adultery, when a believer seeks first the kingdom of God, they are showing the world that Hashem is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and other gods are not even worth their time or effort. I'm not going to cheat on God because my God is the God. And so you can see how when we love God by not cheating on Him, others see that and don't get caught in a relationship with a false God that's going to lead them to a place of damnation. The third and the eighth commandment, don't take the Lord your, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Line that up next to you shall not steal. The lesson here is that when a believer lives an obedient life to God, they're not tarnishing their testimony. Right? They're not saying, hey, you know what? It's about me. When you start to gather attention to yourself, you're stealing glory from God. And so with that, when we live our life obedience to God, we are giving Him all the credit and glory, and thus we are not stealing fame for ourselves. And you know, many times that's why, you know, God performs miracles in our lives. Many times, you know, I don't understand why I've got this sickness right now. Well, guess what? God wants to heal you from that sickness. But on the backside of these things, you need to make sure that you're giving Him all the praise and glory and making sure that those around you know it was God who healed you. And so those commandments relate to each other. The fourth commandment and the ninth commandment: observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and you shall not bear false witness. So, observing the Sabbath and lying, when we assemble to worship God consistently, we are following the example of 6 days we labor, and on the seventh day we rest, just like God rested. So what we are doing is that when we have that consistent seventh day of rest, that seventh day of worship, we are saying to the world, we are honoring that God created the world in 6 literal days, and we are not going to perpetuate the lie of evolution or humanistic philosophy that there is no God and it took millions of years to create the world. You know, I remember back in, I think it was either the 50s or 60s, if I remember my theologic history correct, that there came this theory called the gap theory. Evolution just seemed to make sense. And, you know, what defines a day? You know, God, you know, a day could have been as 1,000 years, so God could have taken 1,000 years. He could have used evolution. Well, of course, my response to that is, well, if that's really the case, then, you know, does that mean that Jews who honor the Sabbath and those who worship on the Sabbath, that means that they get to take 1,000 years off from work? Because the scripture says, you know, we're supposed to, you know, just like God rested from creating, right? That we're supposed to rest as well. So where's my 1,000 years off? Well, that's not right. Exactly. That's not right. These are 6 literal days. Now, of course, there's some good theories about there. Were they literal 24-hour days? Well, you know what? They could have been a 26-hour day or 28-hour day. But they could not have been 1,000-year days. And the reason for that is when you look, when God created plant life, and then when God created the sun, moon, and stars, and insects, if there was a 1,000-year gap or 2,000 years between the creation of plants and the creation of insects, those plants would have died, because plants need insects for pollination and for survival, right? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. So when we worship the Lord consistently every week, we are saying to the world and to the adversary, I'm not going to perpetuate your lie. I'm going to focus on spiritual things one day out of the week, because God rested after He created the world. I'm going to do the same. Amen? And in the final commandment here, we see honor your parents across from coveting. And you know, and this is where many evangelical groups break off, is they put honor your parents on the other side of the aisle, and so you've got 4 commandments and then commandments 6 through 10 or 5 through 10. But in Judaism, when you understand that you shall honor your father and mother and how it relates to coveting, you will keep that and understand that that's a commandment towards God. Because it talks, you know, really what this commandment is, it's talking about respecting the authorities that God has placed over our lives. God has given us the best parents that we were supposed to have. But you don't understand, my parents made mistakes. My parents did horrible things. All these things. But you know what? God gave us the best parents that we were supposed to have to put us in the optimum place in time in history so that we would have the greatest chances of coming to know Him as Lord and Savior. Think about that. And so with that, when we honor our parents and when a believer respects God-given authority and doesn't want the control issues, doesn't want the power, you know, doesn't want to lead so that way they can tell others what to do, they lift up and are rewarded, you know, when they do these things, when they say, hey, I don't want that stuff. I'm not going to covet that power. What does God say? He gives grace to who? the lifted up, the powerful, those in leadership. No, he gives grace to the humble. Yeah. I think of that song we used to sing in the 70s. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And so, when we respect our authority, when we respect our parents, when we respect our bosses, when we respect those in leadership, even though we don't agree with them, when we respect that, we say, hey, I'm going to not only honor you as the God-given authority, but I'm also not going to want to covet your power, and I'm going to be lifted up to serve God. So let's remember that. That as we look at the commandments of God, we really need to make a conscious choice to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to love God by not taking his name in vain. And that, in turn, is also going to show my neighbors that I love them because I'm not going to misrepresent God. They all relate to each other. They all relate to each other. And they should all relate to our lives. Now, why did God give us the Ten Commandments? Why did he do that? Because God is a gracious and loving God. He wanted us to know what his expectations were. He wanted us to know that when, other verses were written like, there is none righteous, no, not one. Which means that not everybody has been able to do all the commandments perfectly. We've all broken at least one of them, right? And what does the scripture say? The wages of breaking one of these commandments is death. But the scripture goes on to continue, but the gift of God is eternal life, right? Yeah, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through who? Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's our faith that is credited to us as righteousness. There is no way we can keep all of these. But God wants us to try. In this aspect, he wants us to try not for salvation. Because remember, all our good deeds are an unclean thing. They're as used by I almost went to the X-rated version there. They are filthy rags. Yeah, and that's kind of playing it lightly. That's our good stuff, is filthy rags. It's like leaves that are dried up and they just blow away. And that's when we try to do these things for our own merit. But when we respond to God because we love him and say, you know what, God, I love you. And what does the scripture say? We love because he first loved us, right? I've given my life to you. I love you because the word says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, here we go. These are the Ten Commandments that he wants us to keep. So that way we can show others that we love God and we love them. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes.